This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, two of the books, one to go, final hour of the show. It is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. It's me, myself, and Nick, as we roll you through till 4. News of the day, the Celtics with a massive uprising in terms of shaking it all up. Danny Ainge stepping away, was hired in 2003 and has done a pretty darn good job as the president of the Boston Celtics, but he is stepping away in a move I don't know that many people saw coming. Brad Stevens, who the rumor was had lost control of his locker room, is removed as head coach so he can replace Ainge as president of the Celtics, and he will lead up the search to find the next head coach of the Boston Celtics in a very strange and somewhat controversial move, as people have said that there's not a whole lot of other coaches that would have gotten the same opportunities.
How the hell do you lose the locker room and then get promoted?
It's a great question. You know what? Here's the thing. I think if Danny Ainge makes himself available, there's going to be plenty of teams that would like to have his services, because his track record is, no, he didn't win at all, but he was from orchestrating moves that got guys like Kevin Garnett, that got guys like the savvy move that ended up knowing that Tatum was the guy he wanted, but he knew that Fultz was the guy Philly had to have. And he actually traded down, still got the exact player he wanted, and got an extra first-round pick that turned into a lottery pick.
So that was smart. And people are going to look at that and see value. But if they look at ESPN's front page and see the picture of Danny Ainge, I don't know if I want him to be the GM of anything. He looks bad. He looks like he's stressed out and run down. I think he doesn't want to do it. Does he still want to do that?
He says he doesn't want to retire. He says he still wants to do it.
Really?
I would think as much as... It didn't work out for Brad Stevens. I would think if he doesn't, and maybe he still can do this, but if he doesn't take the president's job, I think that there's college teams calling him tomorrow morning, tonight.
Yeah.
I think that NBA teams, certainly at young NBA teams, would look at him and go, I want that guy.
But I think being an executive, I think even Brad Stevens is smart enough to realize that's a less... I mean, I guess it could be a more stressful job in terms of day-to-day, dealing with practice, dealing with games, going on the road. To me, just being an NBA executive is a lot less stressful than being a coach. So I think he might enjoy that role. The other thing is, how old is Brad Stevens to be an NBA executive, isn't it? Like, he's still young in terms of coaching years.
Yeah, I mean, he's a younger guy.
How old is this dude?
I mean, because Danny
44
Ainge...
44 years old.
So he's got, and I think that, look, once you're a coach, I think you're always a coach. I think you can take this gig right now. Maybe he's got kids in high school or something and he wants to stay. He likes the Boston area. But I got to believe sooner rather than later, the offers are coming for him.
So as an assistant and then eventually the head coach of Butler, and then he became the Boston Celtics head coach. So, I mean, look, he obviously has a track record. He knows NBA. Being an NBA executive, to me, does not mean it's a bad move for the Boston Celtics. I think he can help with the roster. I don't think he's a bad guy in terms of being
an
NBA.
Can he, though? I mean, look, here's a guy that doesn't have any experience on the personnel side other than just following whatever Ainge has put on his plate, right?
Absolutely. That's a fair point.
But as a coach, he's proven himself on two levels now. The knock on him is they didn't win at all. But the credit should be to him for his entire time in Boston. He had a team that won. He got them to mesh together and play. He got them to play defense and do things in a system that a lot of guys won't do in the NBA. So I don't think they should be crapping on him as much as they are because he lost the locker room after a good run in Boston.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to me how that dynamic works. So, okay, you lost the locker room. They don't respect you, but they know you're an executive and you know you're handling the roster. Does that mean, like, the people that he lost – are going to be not happy with the choices he makes on the roster? Because I could see that being a problem as well.
I'm sure they're still going to have issue with him. And it'll be interesting how that kind of develops over
Danny
time.
Danny Ainge. Do you think he got fired or he really wanted to leave?
I think what you said alone, just looking at him, he looks like it's run its course. He knows how much pressure there's been.
I don't mean to make fun of him. I'm just saying he looks run down.
He's getting kicked not because Jaylen Brown got hurt and he had a lot of injuries all year, and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And he's not getting rewarded for the fact that the franchise could have really taken a tumble when Kyrie left, but he found a way to get himself, at the time, what he thought was a replacement in Kemba Walker. He's getting killed because they didn't win it, and he's also getting killed because you could have, quote-unquote, could have had James Harden this year like the Miami Heat. Both teams going home, both teams were said to be in the discussions for James Harden. Miami wouldn't part with Tyler Hero, who absolutely crapped the bed all year. Boston wasn't going to part with Jaylen Brown, who I can kind of understand if you keep those two guys together. But now you're looking at a whole lot of changes possibly on the horizon. Miami, it hasn't started yet. Boston, it's full-blown.
Wow. I mean, and honestly, you know what? It's kind of smart by James Harden not to pick Boston, though. I mean, I love that team.
It wasn't his choice.
Well, it wasn't on his list of choices.
But, again, I don't think they should have appeased, and I don't think they did appease. They ended up trading him where he wanted to go, but they say that's the best offer they could have got. But they didn't have to do that.
Oh, no, they didn't have to do that. I mean, that's a separate point. I'm just saying it's better off for James. He's on the right team is my point. I mean, that's just bringing up the Rockets discussion again. You're right. I mean, I was the guy that's saying, look, these NBA players have too much leverage, and they shouldn't be able to do that, but they can. But if he went to play for Boston right now, I wouldn't be surprised if, even with him on the roster, that they get bounced in either the Eastern Conference Finals or the semifinals. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think James would still flourish simply because of the fact
that he would.
Unlike the Rockets, and again, it is amazing how the entire Harden narrative changed. And now he's a guy that Charles and Shaq and all these critics love.
I know.
That they just think is one of the... You know, Charles the other night called him the best offensive player he's ever seen. And Shaq and Kenny roasted him, and he would not waver from it. Then he finally, at the end, kind of said, okay, in the current game, as he tried to change it. But there is an argument to be made just statistically about what he's been able to do offensively. It's just mind-boggling to me that he got killed for everything he did as a Rocket because... It was D'Antoni's system. It was a lot of dribbling. It was a lot of iso ball. But you put him around good players, and great things are happening. I think he had enough good players in Boston. You still would have had Tatum, so he had his 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
You still would have had like Kemba and some of these other guys around him to where I think they still would have been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I think, see, the thing about Charles Barkley, I think sometimes he doesn't even mean it. You know what I mean? Like he's just trying to make a point, and I guess he a little hyperbole or whatever. So he says stuff like that. And look, Shaq. Like, even Shaq, I remember when they called Rudy Gobert an all-time great. Shaq was aggravated. He stood up in the studio, and he was just so, how you going to tell me Rudy Gobert is an all-time great and blah, blah, blah. So they have those discussions, and those are great. But speaking of that studio show, did you see Draymond Green on the show?
I have not seen him.
No. It was on last night.
I heard.
I need a more angry Draymond Green. Like, I can see him taking the role of Barkley, like in the event that Barkley gets too old or doesn't want to do this anymore.
Okay.
Because he can be that mouthy dude.
Yeah.
The problem is he wasn't as good as a player as Charles Barkley. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He has the championship rings.
Triple singles.
Yeah. He's going to retire and he'll never be even close.
There's a lot of people saying he's a Hall of Famer, and I just can't see it.
He probably will. He'll probably get in. I don't think he is. I don't think he is, but he probably will get in. But he's going to retire and not have the numbers that Charles Barkley has, but right, he's probably going to replace.
And he'll be an all-star a couple times, and he'll be an NBA champion. But when we talk about Robert Horry, he's still not going to average much more than 10 points a game.
No, you're not going to get much more than that.
And he's a Swiss Army knife, and he does a lot of things defensively, but I don't know.
I think that part of the reason why they brought him on, because obviously the trash talk between the two, we know.
Oh, absolutely.
They went back and forth, and they placed Draymond right in Kenny's chair, so he sat next to Barkley. And basically in between Ernie and Barkley.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. So other news of the day, Duke University has announced that Mike Krzyzewski plans to coach one more year and has led to the Dukies to 5 national titles in his 41 seasons. He'll do number 42. That should be it. He'll retire after this coming college basketball season. So
look, it'd be nice for him to end his career with the championship, although I don't know if he'll get it. I mean, when's the last time he's been to the Final Four? I mean, it's been a while. So
a couple years ago, wasn't it?
I don't think so. I don't think Duke's been to the Final Four in a while.
They won it with the year they beat Wisconsin was Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky's team, so that wasn't that far away.
Or maybe it was the championship.
Yeah, they haven't won a title in a while, but they won their last title was, I think, that team that beat Wisconsin in the championship game.
Regardless, the guy has an unbelievable resume.
Look, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's a legend, and he deserves to walk away whenever he wants to. And again, if you see Danny Ainge and say that, I look at Coach K some days and think, you know what?
Well,
you don't
he's 74.
Need this
How old is Danny Ainge? Because Coach K is 74 years old, bro.
Right. So if you think about Danny Ainge is close to Mario's age.
62.
Okay.
So he's a little bit younger. He's a little bit younger.
Other news, again, because it's a very hectic time right now basketball-wise. Joel Embiid will sit out tonight for the Sixers in Game 5 against the Wizards. They should still end up winning that series. That game's at home tonight. Baseball-wise, Astros looking to get another game from the Red Sox, taking the first two games of that series, playing great baseball right now. Framber Valdez making his second start of the year on the mound tonight. And a little tidbit that I found you that you might find somewhat interesting. Jose Altuve, you know how we were worried about him and we talked about at the plate? Well, weren't we also worried about him having the yips in the field? Jose Altuve currently has the highest fielding percentage at second base in the American League at .989. So all of that behind him, behind them, and the Astros continue to keep steamrolling. So that's good as they look to close this homestand out with the Red Sox by hopefully sweeping the Sox, but continuing their winning ways. That's a good thing. We've got more to get to on the program, lots of other stories, sports and otherwise, and we always look forward to you guys being a part of it. So if you want to join the program, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitch, hit us on Twitter. We're here for you, and we're open throughout the show and sometimes after that. So before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, I've been telling you about them for quite a while. With all this rain, you might notice you got a leaky roof and you need it fixed. You may need it fixed because you need it fixed for your business, or you may need it fixed because it's for your house. You might want to put a whole new roof on one or the other, or you just need some stuff done around the house, maybe some repairs, or maybe you want to put a fence in the yard. They do all those things and so much more. And the great things about Fitz Roofing is they have the best warranties in the business. They use the best products like CertainT shingles. And they also have the best ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor and up and down the line. So therefore, the process starts with you calling them for a free, no-obligation inspection that costs you absolutely nothing. Just call them today, 832-521-3001. They will come to you and tell you what they can do to help you and how much it's going to cost. Then they'll go back to doing what they do. You want them to come back, you just set up the appointments. They'll start making sure that you are communicated to throughout the process with great customer service, and you're going to be loving the work that they do for you every step of the way. They're good people doing great things, and they're always doing it for Houstonians. Check them out today. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Shout out to Klops on Twitch, giving us a little inside information that Brian McTaggart has since verified for us. The lineup is in for tonight's game behind Framber Valdez. And it is a little bit interesting. Right off the top, literally, Jose Altuve will lead off, not the crazy part. The crazy part is he's your designated hitter. So that means that Carlos Correa will bat second and play short. Alex Bregman will play third and bat third. And then more interesting stuff, as Yordan Alvarez, again, not interesting that he's in the cleanup spot, but very interesting, he's going to be in a very tricky left field.
Why? Why?
I don't know if there's, because of all the injuries with Brantley, and I don't know if Diaz did something again to his hamstring, because he's always dinged up. But and Chaz has been playing good baseball, and I don't understand this. So Alvarez left field in the four hole, Yuli's at first, Tucker's in right, Garcia, back up from the minors, is going to play second, Miles Straw in center. Maldonado, with freshly oranged hair, will be your catcher for Framber Valdez.
How do you think he's going to do? Wasn't he just dealing with leg soreness?
Yeah.
That's why
I don't need him in the outfield.
I don't need him in the outfield either. I don't get it. Or maybe it was just a precautionary. I don't get it.
Even last night, I give him credit for barreling down the first baseline, trying to beat that out. But at the same time, the whole time in the back of my head, I'm going, geez, don't get hurt.
Yeah, and can he do that consistently enough? Like, can he do that and make a big play like that a lot? Like, you can expect that from some of the smaller players that we have on the roster with Alex Bregman and Altuve, but I didn't expect that at left field.
I don't know that I like it. I would border on the side of caution for right now.
Maybe he blossoms. You never know. But you're right. In terms of the injury, that's the reason why I don't like it more than anything else. Just out of fear of injury.
But here's the other thing too, Nick. We talked about how important this homestand is. We talked about the fact that it didn't start well, but it looks like it's going in the right direction now. You've taken the first two against the Red Sox. You were leading in all three games against the Padres. Yes, the bullpen let you down, but at least you got a clear-cut message for yourself that was sent around the league. You could play with the best teams in baseball. The bullpen is your major weakness. So you split with the Dodgers. If you could finish this strong and get one, if not the last two, with the Red Sox, now you've done some things. You've come out with a winning record in the series, in the homestand, and you got a lot of momentum. I don't want to mess with that momentum because we remember what the lineup was like when Yordan wasn't in it, and it's literally missing some pop. And I don't want to screw with that just so that he can get some experience. You want to get him experience? Have him get some experience when you play the Tigers again, or have him get some experience when you play one of the worst teams in baseball at home, if you want to have him learn how to play at Minute Maid Park in a tricky outfield situation. Don't have him get experience when you're playing one of the better teams in baseball and you're on a roll.
And look, and maybe I don't know if there's something about the injury status that they know that we don't know about, but I don't know. And there's this guy who I follow him on Twitter by the name of Michael Schwab, and he has a video of Yordan Alvarez throwing out someone at second from outfield. I'll retweet it at the producer, Nick.
Now, Todd, the show does correct us, and he's right. Alvarez had the wrist injury this time, but to your and I's point, he spent the majority of last year, the offseason and spring training, dealing with knees.
Yeah, I thought he had leg soreness a couple weeks ago. But
Brantley's the one that just had it recently, coming off the road trip.
So he's been
held out. But it doesn't matter to me. I need Yordan in the lineup every single day. And if it's just as a designated hitter, I'm fine with that because I don't want to run the risk of putting him out there to expand his horizons only to have him expand an injury.
Yeah. And look, maybe they feel fine about it. Maybe they're not worried about the injury stuff as much as we are, you know. And look, it's not like he's old.
Yeah, I wouldn't take the chance right now. But, you know, if there's something wrong with Chaz McCormick, then I get it.
Do you think he has a better arm than Alvarez McCormick?
I don't even think I'm worried about the throwing arm at this point. I'm just worried about the fact that he's speedy, that he can, you know, between him and Straw, there's not a ball that's going to get between them for the most part, that Chaz has a good arm. He's a better than average defender, and he's an experienced outfielder in that park.
Yeah,
and it's tricky out there. So I wouldn't do it right now. And I'm not trying to nitpick Dusty or anything else.
I mean, I'll see it for a game. But the thing is about Dusty, if we know anything about his nature, he's not just going to give this a one time go.
No, probably not. That's kind of concerns me too. But I mean, we'll see how it goes. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
But if it's not broke, don't give them a chance to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's your lineup for your Astros tonight as they take on the Red Sox behind Framber Valdez as he takes his second start of the season. Probably looking to get a little deeper than five innings if possible, but that would be great. And someone said it's a good point. This is exactly what I was thinking too. If you want to experiment, then put Chaz in center because Chaz has shown he has speed. And so if you're worried about Miles Straw's offense, Chaz obviously, he's lacking average-wise, but in terms of statistically runs batted in and otherwise, in the games he's played, he makes things happen.
I don't know if they're worried. The thing is, I don't know if Dusty is worried about Miles Straw as much as you are.
No, Dusty seems to really like Miles Straw, maybe a little too much. I don't mind Miles Straw as a backup outfielder, a defensive replacement, even though his defense has kind of been shaky, but also because of his wheels, he can be a pinch runner, he can do a lot of things. But I've told you time and time again, on a team this good, he shouldn't be your starting center fielder.
Yeah. Well, let's give him one go and see how he does. I don't know. It is interesting that he's playing at left field. I wouldn't have expected that. That's the last thing I expected to see on Twitter.
Well, I certainly hope we're not talking about it in a negative form tomorrow.
Very well what could happen. I don't want that. It could also be a situation where it's not his fault. Like, watch him drop something or there'll be an error. But really, it's not because you know, they don't lose the game if they do because of him. It could be something else. Look, if the bats go cold, like, you, sometimes it doesn't really matter.
Right.
It really doesn't matter.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. And you know what? And let me ask you this too, Nick. This is crazy because, you know, we were joking about all the illegal things that we help you guys with along the way. And people were talking about, we were talking about the vaccines. And we mentioned that one story about that bar where you could get a beer and a fake vaccine card for $20.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. And then poor Marine started talking about, you know, his side hustle, and that was going to be it, and it was a big running joke. My buddy that owns Houston Flowery, I walked in there last night, and we were talking about how many customers wear masks and don't. And he's like, you got your card, right? And I go, is that really a thing? Or is that – we were talking about it on
like
the show.
Like he asked for your vaccine card?
Yeah. I go, because I never got a card. I got a piece of paper – that when I got the first shot, they signed it and stamped it. You had to bring that same piece of paper back so they could do it again. But I never got it. I thought it was...
I got a card. Walgreens gives you a card.
You really got a card?
Yeah, but it's handwritten and it's about this big and it can kind of fit in your wallet and it kind of folds. But yeah, so what happens is like you go the first time and on the same card, the first dose, they write down the date, they sign it, blah, blah, blah. Then you take that same card back.
Right.
And then they rewrite it. But it's all handwritten.
Yeah, Lisa and I both... We got paper. We didn't get a card.
I guess protocols are different between places. You said you got Pfizer or Moderna?
Pfizer.
I got Pfizer too. I don't know. I guess the protocols are different between place and Walgreens and wherever else.
This was at a
COVID center, right? Like
was,
a center.
It was on the campus of the HCC out there between Sugarland and Stafford.
Oh, that's Cash Road.
Yes. Something like that.
I went
right?
there. I went. I took. Okay. I've had to take classes there. Yeah, Stafford.
So right
yeah.
in the front of the campus, they have a clinic, and so that's where it was set up.
That's literally where I take my dog grooming.
Is that right?
Like in that little warehouse behind it. Like okay. there's like a little warehouse that's kind of hidden behind it. That's where I take Chiquita to get her her.
So we both went there. They just never
her stuff expressed.
They never gave us a card.
Her anus expressed.
And Rezzy says, oh, I don't need all that. Rezzy says, I've heard if you depending on where you get it done, they don't always give you a card. Well, that's evidently the case.
See, I got not only did I get a card when I went back to the second dose, they're like, hey, where's your card? I'm like, oh, and I forgot it, so I have to go back. I took the second dose, then went back home, went back to get the vaccine card filled, and then left.
Okay, well, there's that. Someone on text said, personally, I'd rather have Alvarez get used to playing the outfield. You're going to want him playing there when you start playing National League teams and when you don't have the designated hitter. It's a good point. It's just, I personally see where you're coming from. Unless I believe you change your tune in a heartbeat if he gets hurt out there.
Yeah.
Or he makes a couple mistakes.
Well, the hurt part, for sure. That would aggravate me.
First and
big
foremost.
Big time. Oh,
but
yeah.
Let's also not look past the fact that there are some mistakes that have been made, i.e. last night, Garcia has to cover first base.
Yeah.
Twice. And once he missed the bag, second time he was late and it almost cost him a run. So there are mistakes being made out there. It's one thing to make him in the infield where you can prevent it from being really messy. But if he plays a single into a triple or makes a couple of mistakes out there, you might change your tune too. So think about that. Half hour to go in the program. Still lots to get to. Look forward to having you guys be a part of it. The Twitchers are active. The text messages full. And of course, there's room for you on Twitter and calls as well. So hit us up. We're here for the final 30 minutes. Nick and Joel, Press Box ESPN.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back. Final half hour of the program. Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, as it's Nick and myself rolling along. And talking about a whole lot of different things, Nick. Little extras for you on the baseball front. John Heyman reporting that Major League Baseball is still alarmed at the number of suspicious baseballs that are being collected during this period where pitchers knew of the collections. Of course, pitchers also knew this is just a survey. No bands are going to be associated, which means we'll heed your warnings if you catch us. But since we're not going to be suspended, we're also not going to stop doing what we do. By the way, last night on the game, highest spin rate suddenly in baseball, that of Trevor Bauer, who couldn't stop bitching about the Astros spin rate a few years ago.
Yep.
And then started actually taunting people saying, watch my spin rate in certain innings because I'm going to show you how it goes up. Now suddenly he's can't beat him, join him guy, evidently, because his spin rate leads baseball.
Well, that was such a big discussion for them about the spin rate forever.
Well, now the owners are talking about it. They know the suspicious baseballs will be displayed and offered as evidence with the owners as they discuss ways to crack down on foreign concoctions being used by pitchers to boost spin rates. But there are concerns that some key pitching voices may push back, i.e. that guy.
Yeah.
Trevor Bauer.
Well, look, obviously they're not going to take it to the extent that you would probably want to as an Astros fan, but it's certainly there. They sent that memo out pretty early. They said they're going to start inspecting these balls at random. And you know how important I think it is to inspect balls properly. You know that. So
you are a big ball inspector.
Got to make sure these balls are intact.
How's your findings so far?
I'll let you know about the inspection
intact
later.
Intact or playable?
Nothing on the balls. Can't put any.
Can't doctor your balls.
Self-made substance. Yeah, exactly.
So no ball.
Don't
doctoring.
Doctor the balls. Yes.
But have you been working on putting the balls in play?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just like the Astros. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. They put the balls in play. They don't play around.
So you remember speaking to the Astros when we were talking about a few weeks ago what a class move it was that the organization had decided to feed all of their minor leaguers as well as make sure that they had furnished apartments?
I remember, yeah.
Well, then the A's tried to follow suit, said they were going to probably do something very similar. Well, evidently they didn't do a whole lot of homework as to who they were going to get to do certain parts of that nice gesture for their minor leaguers because a photo depicting the food, quote unquote, that is being provided to A's minor leaguers went viral on Tuesday, sparking a whole lot of feedback that wasn't exactly positive. On one of the Twitter accounts, Advocates for Minor League Baseball, players in the A's organization shared photos of their recent post-game meals. One involved two pieces of bread with one slice of tomato, one piece of lettuce, and a piece of cheese, along with a scoop of coleslaw. Another was a tortilla with a few peppers and maybe a piece or two of chicken. This was, to say the least, alarming for a lot of people. And thankfully, of the people that were alarmed, the A's were also alarmed, as they have stepped up and fired the food vendor that was responsible for supplying the meal.
Does not look appealing at all. And I'm on the Advocates for Minor Leaguers Twitter, right, and they've got both of the pictures up. And they're right. It's literally a single tortilla. It looks like a single piece of fajita in the tortilla. I feel like there's a lot of communities that should be upset about this. And then the bread with the cheese with the one piece of lettuce and one slice of what is that? Who thought of that as a sandwich?
No
Who
idea.
Said that this would be a good idea?
Right, and where are you getting any nutritional value or
feed that's going to
fill you up? Or
this is worse. Now, I remember us not complaining, but I guess kind of making fun of the basketball players in the bubble about what they were tweeting out.
Right.
This is worse.
Way worse. Way worse. And Tillman ended up capitalizing on that and getting that food deal. So the A's found out and said several weeks ago we were made aware of the post-game meals being served to our players in our minor league system. Those options were completely unacceptable, by no means meet our quality standards. We immediately ended our relationship with that vendor.
Who the hell eats a cheese and lettuce sandwich? Who does that? Like who on their right mind does that?
I have no idea why. And you also can't believe, I mean, who believes for a heartbeat? Great point, Nick. In the bubble, rich, spoiled NBA players were tweeting out pictures because they weren't happy.
That was way better than this garbage.
You don't think that minor league baseball players are going to tweet this out going, okay.
That's the worst thing you could do these days is just make bad food for people and serve. I think those are the worst people. Look, you're going to have to take the L on that food. If you messed it up, like honestly, I'm not going to throw this steakhouse under the bus because it's been a really popular steakhouse that I had an opportunity to go to over the weekend, and it's been there for years, and it's fancy. But, like, that steak was overcooked. You know what I'm saying? I could have easily just took a picture, published it, made a big deal, cut the steak in half, shown how well done it was when I did not ask for it to be well done.
I would have.
I know you would have.
Yeah.
You would have consumed the steak, though.
Probably right.
Yeah. But the thing is, I wasn't going to do that. Like, these are players, and if they stuck with this same company, there's a good chance, if no one said anything, that they would be getting cheese and lettuce sandwiches over and over and over again.
And here's the thing, because you know what? Everything's always inflated, too. When you're doing it for, like, major league teams or their minor league affiliates, you can try and bump the price up on the catering. But if this is truly catering, right, and I don't know what they're paying for their – They'll bill you extra for the containers and the forks and the knives and things. But the first photo was from May 18th when the A's team was in Amarillo, Texas. You don't think in Amarillo, Texas, you could find some restaurant trying to get back on its feet that serves Tex-Mex or serves something that they could do buffet style.
You absolutely
can. They could say, how much were you going to pay for sandwiches and coleslaw? How about you give us all that, and we'll find a way to cater a meal for your whole team?
I bet you I know people that probably, like, friends that I've done business with that I've, like, they made Thanksgiving plates for me and stuff because they have that little side hustle or whatever. They probably would charge the same price, even cheaper, but a 10 times more quality. Like, even the bread looks old. The bread looks old.
So, and here's the other thing. Now, you've done a good thing. You get pub for that, okay? Secondly, you take some pictures with the guys. You say, hey, in exchange for all this, could you also include the guys signing some baseballs, doing some things? On the remote chance that one or more of those guys turns out to be something, you now have something else that can say, hey, back in the day before so-and-so made it, look what we got.
Yeah, they could, but you would be holding a grudge massively if that's, I mean, at this point, if they sign you, but you're right, they could absolutely say that.
I'm just saying, there's ways that, and smart business practices are out there from both sides. The restaurant goes, oh, I need to do this because I can make, this is revenue I wouldn't have had at all, and I can find a way to make it work for the money they're going to give me. And then from a team perspective, you're like, I'm giving them a warm meal now instead of a bad cold sandwich and a scoop of coleslaw. I'm doing what's right for the organization.
The
players.
But if you're poor Marine, you're soft because he only eats veggie sandwiches. Come on, poor Marine. You're going to eat that, poor Marine? Come on.
Veggie sandwiches.
Who's going to eat that?
What are you, men at work? You're going to go veggie or Vegemite on?
Did you think it was appealing? No way.
He constantly has to try and do the fake tough.
I know.
Okay. Here's the bad thing, Nick. According to the website, this is far from an isolated incident in minor league baseball. Each and every day, I hear directly from players about the myriad ways in which they are being mistreated. While players are too scared to speak publicly for fear of retaliation from their own teams, their stories have to be heard. I'd welcome the opportunity to work collaboratively with any of Major League Baseball's representatives that like to hear these stories and work together to better the game of baseball for the players at all levels. You can't just say you're going to do something and then do it half-assed to where it's not a positive.
Yeah, you can't, not with the food. And honestly, you can get some more, like, you could have got, like, some other food that still is cheap and still not acceptable, but actually still better than that what you have right there. Like, you could have got a sack lunch, like a service that provides sack lunch. And I'm pretty sure the baseball players still wouldn't like it, but it still would be better than what you're looking at right now. So
basically, depending on where you get, you could get bags of chips for 50 cents or less. So you can't tell me that they can't give you enough that would make a difference.
So weird that they did that. I don't understand what the deal was with that.
Again, it takes all the shine away from an otherwise good move if you don't hire the right company. So we've got more to get to. We got one segment left in the program, then we're going to turn it over to the Blitz. Before we do that, I do want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Dr. O and his staff doing fantastic work. They're always going to take care of ESPN listeners, but more so and more importantly, they're going to take care of you, whether it be a male or a female looking to feel like they felt like in their 20s, whether it be from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. If you need help, don't be afraid to ask, because if you do and you're honest with them when they ask you questions, they're going to provide you answers, they're going to get you results, and you're going to feel better than you felt in a long, long time, maybe ever. Because that's what they do on a daily basis. They have two locations near downtown Houston to better serve you. And Dr. O and his staff have been there and done that with the other companies. They know what works. They know what doesn't. And they make sure that they do nothing but just get results for you when you go to Apollo Men's Health. You mentioned my name in ESPN 97.5. You're going to get a free B12 shot on your first visit. and the process will go from there. Check them out today by going to apollomh.com and book your first appointment. You'll find out that most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders, and they're going to take care of you every step of the way. From the time you walk in the doors, you want something to drink? You would like a snack? Do you feel comfortable in our waiting room? Would you like to wait in an exam room where you have more privacy? Because they're going to ask you these tough questions, and they want you to be in a comfortable position to answer them honestly. But from weight loss to more energy and hormone therapy to recovering quicker and better, they have answers for you, and they get you results. They take care of a lot of people. I go there every single week. I love what they've been able to do for me. They can do the same for you. Check them out today. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, Nicholas. In the final segment of the show where we always have some fun, we also, you know, sometimes we make it more personal stuff about us or whatever, we find an off-the-wall kind of story. I kind of got a combo platter here, but I got to ask you to start out with.
Okay.
I got this story about radio reporters. So I need you to tell me your level of dedication. You know that there are certain things you got to do because you've covered locker rooms before. You've gotten key interviews, you know, multiple sports, events.
Yeah.
How far would you go to get a story? Now, the reason why I asked that before you answered that is, I mean, literally, how far would you go?
Now I'm starting to wonder how far this particular radio reporter went. I would not go that far because I've never been on the beat like that.
Would you beat to a opportunity to go all the way with a female at a swingers club while you audio recorded the whole thing for a story to be used on your station?
Now that's interesting. That's never been done before. Yes, probably
until now, because now it has. A radio reporter went all the way to get a scoop on a swingers club near Copenhagen when she had sex with a man she was interviewing. Louise Fisher, who's 26, can be heard moaning during the on-the-record intercourse, part of a two-minute segment, well, evidently it was a quickie, that aired on Radio 4 in Denmark. So obviously out of the country, but yet still not out of the realm of possibilities. She said, "I don't have a boyfriend. It definitely made it a lot easier," as she told a German publication. "My mother just thinks it's funny and laughs. My father thought it was really cool." The X-rated segment focused on the reopening of a swingers club named Swingland after the lifting of COVID-19 restrictions, and she discussed reactions to her unorthodox interview style.
Well, okay, so there's no video of this, obviously. It's just audio.
As far as I know. Now, you may be able to uncover some video of it.
I don't know. Like, so we basically did that on the app show. Didn't we, like, play like a porn? Or no, the Blitz played
the, Blitz the, did.
Played the porno.
They played porno audio. But this is an actual on-air personality that you know. This isn't playing some professional porn star's audio. This is someone you know. This is like Jake Asman or Charlie Polillo going down to the local swingers club and giving you full rein audio-wise of their experiences.
I can see Jake doing that because he would want to run across a baseball field naked for $2,000, he said.
Charlie would be dropping too many stats. Jake would be talking too much through the whole process.
$2,000, you're running naked in the middle of Minute Maid Park, $2,000. I said 20. I felt like 20.
Yeah, two's light.
I felt 20K was fair. Yeah, I can handle my lawyer fees and everything else was what I came down to.
So the reporter said that most of the people's reactions were positive. They thought it was brave and cool. So did her employer. Her employer put out a tweet that said, "Warning, it got hot and wet for both our reporter and a guest as they debuted the Swingers Club feature.
I want to hear the audio, but I don't want to play it and get in trouble.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to hear it, though, Nick. Because one, I think the picture ruins it a little bit.
Oh, no. They show the picture
of her in the article. She's okay. I can retweet this. She's okay.
Are you going to retweet it right now?
Yeah, I'll retweet it.
At right Pac-Man Joel, yeah, at the producer.
I'm going to retweet it right now for you peeps so that you can kind of get into more of the realm of what we're talking about.
I'll totally
about
get in trouble if I play that.
Danish. She tweet. So I'll send it out for you. But at the same time, before we wrap this thing up, by talking about this, here's the thing. At one point, full sound of the body slapping can be heard, and the journalist asks the man she is having sex with if he can tell her what he's seeing, and he responds, quote, a delicious woman. It had been the plan ahead of the report to participate in the club. The head of her radio station said that the station approved the move. I feel like I just think it's cool when the reporters try to make the stories in a different way, the head of Radio 4 said.
Look, if you're going to be in the business, you got to separate yourself somehow, all right? Clearly this
you
reporter...
You have to separate yourself or get closer together.
Maybe, but clearly this reporter separated...
Or did she?
Separated herself from the others by providing a quality report for Denmark Radio.
It seems instead of separating, in the words of the Beatles, it seems like she more likely came together with a swinger.
I just saw your tweet at Pac-Man Joel.
What do you think?
At the producer, Nick. I'm waiting. She's not bad.
Okay.
She's... All right, let's end the day on a good note.
A good note. An OnlyFans model in Mexico named Rocio Pino, a.k.a. La Grosseria, the rude one, has come up with a campaign platform rarely seen in politics. You vote for her, free boob jobs for everyone.
I'm a fan of that person.
It remains unclear how being elected to Mexico's Chamber of Deputies will give her that sort of sweeping power and the financial resources to provide, but Rocio claims to have a plan. According to the Daily Star, her plan is election promises to guarantee free breast augmentation for all women, with women who have undergone mastectomies given priority, but all women will have the opportunity for a free boob job. She'll even offer the breast implants to trans women.
Wow. Well, there you go, Holly.
That's not nice.
You can get a boob job now.
Her campaign slogan, Nick, give your mom tease. and also her second one, because a woman with tease is an empowerment woman, that's why you should vote for her.
That's crazy.
Also, she has political ads which have shown her naked and pregnant in a show of support for all single parents, not just women in need of bench press upgrades. The picture of her? Not bad, Nick.
So better than the prior one?
She has a sleeve of tattoos on one arm, but
I don't, I'm not as against the tattoos like you are.
But from a visual perspective, I think she wins over our Dutch reporter on radio.
Okay. All right.
Rocio Pino and some of her billboards, they're Racio. They're not too bad. So that'll about do it for us today. Tomorrow we're in studio, and then it remains to be seen the information that hasn't been secured yet in our information on computer, but tells us we may be in Beaumont on Friday at 5 under. So you might have to do
some rescheduling.
I have to check and see. Otherwise, we'll have a guest in studio on Friday as well. But either way, we're going to finish the week strong, and that always means that you're going to be a part of it. We appreciate you guys. Part of being a part of it is be a part of our sponsors that also like to support us, like New Brakes. New Brakes are due to come here to the studio in the next week or two and fix my brakes so I can tell you from a personal experience just how great they are. Because if you've missed it or haven't heard of me talk about them before, NUBrakes.com is all you need to do to find out that just like getting your groceries curbside or delivered to you instead of having to shop for an hour, you can multitask at home or at work by having New Brakes do your brakes at your work or your home, and you don't have to do a darn thing. You can watch a game and drink a beer. You can be at the office getting some extra work done. You can cut the lawn. But guess what? They're trained brake technicians, and brakes is all they do. So they're not going to try and upsell you on anything else. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You're going to save 10% off the top. But why would you go to a brake shop where you got to sit in a bad waiting room, watch bad TV with vending machine food, cold coffee, and uncomfortable furniture, when instead you could have them come to your office or your job and get the same kind of quality work done by trained technicians at fair prices, just on par with all the brake shops you'd have to go to. Check them out today. Tell them we sent you by. It's going to be worth your time, and it's going to make your brakes happy and your car happy, too. It's newbrakes.com. That's nubrakes.com.
ESPN 97.5.